Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show as we start a new week here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Matt Catrillo here with you, filling in for Sean Carey. He's got the week off. And also joining us today here in the studio is Bob Buehner, back with us. Bob, it is good to be back with you here.
Always, Matt. You know, today, the first Monday in August means a lot of things, including the start of high school football practice.
That's right.
Teams, 600 teams across the Commonwealth, from Erie to Philly and from Waynesburg to Honesdale, all starting on that mythical chase for a state championship. Season starts early this year, August 23rd, Friday night. And on WKOK, Kevin Herr and the coach will be doing the Danville-Shikellamy football game, starting at the game at 7 o'clock. I think the pregame around 6:30.
Yep.
It's not that far away.
Yeah, absolutely. We got Lewisburg on the Valley, and then we got Vaseline Grove back this year on Eagle 107. So we're getting ready for high school football around the Valley. Saw some of our teams out there today getting ready for practice. The heat acclimation period for the PIAA before they begin the real practices for all the fall sports coming up next week. And also Penn State football, and Bob, Steve and I were discussing that a little bit during Friday's show. The official start day for Penn State football was this past Friday. We'll hear from Steve from the first practice. And Steve likes this team, he mentioned, on Friday as a whole. I like this defense a little bit better. There's a lot of question marks, some new faces on offense. So what's your overall take on what do you like about this Penn State team this year?
Well, I think you're right. There's some incredible linebackers at linebacker U, not surprising. Micah Parsons, and there's a couple of fellas that a guy by the name of Smith from Virginia, not to be confused with our own Smith from Lewisburg, who was a great starter, a four-year player for the Lions at linebacker. Defensive backs solid. The defensive line, they've got some real talent there. They can be terrorizing the opposition from the front four. So I think the big question, Matt, is going to be at the QB spot, as it always is. Gone is a guy named Trace McSorley.
That is right.
All he could do was win, and will never have to buy a beer anywhere in State College again in his life.
That is definitely true.
Because Penn State fans are enamored of his guttiness for all his playing time at Penn State. But he's gone, down with Baltimore, and it's time for a new face. Tom Stevens down at Mississippi State, so we'll have
to
see.
They're going to be fine at quarterback.
I think they will be.
Take my word.
Okay.
I'd be very surprised if this isn't obvious to people quickly that they're fine. How are you, Bob?
Steve, I am just fantastic, I have to say, in good health and good spirits, and glad to be with you and Matt this Monday afternoon in the Valley.
Yes, I'm going to be in the studio tomorrow.
I understand.
So I'm going to, so Matty Ice, I will be there.
All right, awesome.
Don't tell the interim whatever.
Yeah.
All right, it'll be our little secret.
Yeah, and believe me, I mean, Roger and I are going to talk, and we're going to put the emphasis on interim.
Does he get a better, bigger office than the closet he's currently ensconced?
Not to my knowledge. He's in the same office when I last spoke with him just a short while ago.
Isn't it great to work with somebody who's like one of the people? I mean, that's just, isn't that great?
It is. So, Steve, high school football, as Matt and I started out the show, first day of practice, I think the big talk here in the Susquehanna Valley is about a game that's going to take place on August the 25th in the afternoon down in South Carolina. And it'll be televised nationally on ESPN. It's the only high school game that Sunday afternoon between the Tigers of Southern Columbia and Hammond, South Carolina. They have one thing in common. Each has won multiple state championships in their respective state. Ought to be something.
Do you want an honest opinion
about
it?
I do.
I mean, really honest?
Absolutely. Candid as can be.
I think it is really intriguing, and I think it's great for Southern Columbia. Okay, so
right.
Please. Okay, so don't. Okay. But to me, that's not what high school football is about. High school football to me is not state versus state unless you're a border town.
That's right, like Easton and the Phillipsburg, New Jersey, or something like that.
Right, exactly. I mean, I've been critical of this for a long time. When LeBron did the traveling road show when he was, you know, in Akron,
right.
at St. Vincent's, I was critical of it then. Hey, playing in Las Vegas, you're like, oh, are you kidding me? Why don't you go play the team from Canton? All right? And it was nationally televised. Now, is this great for Southern Columbia that's nationally televised? Yes. Is it a great showcase for the Southern Columbia players? Yes. Is it a great travel opportunity for everybody at Southern Columbia? Yes. Is it great competition? Yes. And, you know, and have it, it's, those are all yeses. But I'm talking from a point of view of ideology, we're starting to miss the mark here as to what's what. Has nothing to do with Southern Columbia, right? High school sports were not meant to be traveling road shows.
It's a contrived game, let's face it, right off the bat. You know, it's purely something concocted in the studios of ESPN. And on that Saturday of the first weekend, August the 24th, there are like 9 games very similar to the Southern Columbia Hammond game.
Right, it's the ESPN high school showcase that this whole thing is for.
And again, I'm thrilled for them. I think this is great for them. I'm talking about, like, in pure ideology moving forward. I've never been in favor of these games. Never. Right? I mean, modern day playing somebody from Louisiana. I'm like, oh, for goodness, really? Why don't you play somebody in your own area? Why don't you just represent your own area, win your own championship, win your own state deal? I mean, nobody knows. I mean, you know, what do you, you know, why does modern day spend all this money as a school district to go and fly to Texas to play somebody? Yeah. I don't get that. Money's tight everywhere. Why do it? I realize you probably fundraise around it to do it, so I got that, but still.
I think Southern Columbia, from what I understand, ESPN is paying the whole, all the freight for that, for them to get down there and stay down there, which is, you know, something interesting.
It's exciting. It's exciting. I got it.
Yep.
I mean, like I said, did I go through a whole list of positives for Southern Columbia?
No question.
Gigantic list. I'm talking about from an ideology point of view. I don't like what ESPN is doing.
Well,
I think their philosophy as a network just in a lot of ways flat out stinks.
Well,
you're right about that for sure as a whole.
Steve, the question also becomes, you know, it started with the pros. It seeped its way into the colleges with these opening intersectional games. And now it's in the high schools. I can conceive where State College Middle School will be going to Atlanta, Georgia Junior High.
State College has gone to West Virginia to play games. They've gone to New York to play games. And I was critical of them when they went. Not of them. It's not their fault.
No.
If I'm the school district, I accept it in a heartbeat.
Sure.
But again, I don't like it. I mean, this is getting away from, we're starting to get away from who we are. And I don't like that part. And ESPN is like, we're our showcase, promoting it, blah, blah, blah. And it's great for Southern Columbia, please. And I'm so happy for them. So don't think I'm being critical of them and I'm not happy for them. I am, but I don't. It started with LeBron, Say?
Yeah.
And ESPN carrying his high school games. And it's bothered me ever since.
Well, it's really, you know, it's, let's face it, it's a moneymaker for ESPN for a couple reasons. Number one, it's an easy game to produce. You know, the production costs are not monumental. Two, it does get some fan interest in a time where, as we know, August is kind of one of the slower months for sports. So it fills a whole weekend of programming that they need, and it's live, and you can, you know, do it interregionally, right. So you get a wider audience. So the big winner in all of this is the bottom line at ESPN. It's about the money.
Well, but also Southern Columbia, and is it Hammondsport?
Hammond.
Hammond. Okay, they're both wonders, too, because their players get to be showcased nationally,
sure.
Which is really great. So now you've got high school recruiter, or excuse me, college recruiters across the country that are getting a good look at some really good prospects on both teams, not just the five-star guys on both teams. So it gives them a great national showcase. And every high school player in the country would love to have a national showcase.
Oh, yeah.
I got that part. But I think ESPN has taken some of these things too far. And I just am not enamored with what they've done.
I'll put it to you in a different way.
Penn State's playing on a Friday night at Maryland. Yeah, Penn State's playing on a Friday night at Maryland. Just like they played on a Friday night in Illinois. I am so... I'm as guilty as anybody. I will point out to everybody that I am part of the problem. I will watch that Friday night game from time to time.
Sure.
I'll watch it. But you know what? I still think it's wrong to play it. And I think it's wrong that the Big Ten has a Friday night game when that's high school football night. Right? So it's not like I'm just confining this to, you know, Southern Columbia playing Hammond and I'm, you know, no, it has nothing to do with that. Right? I've already listed all the great things for Southern Columbia. I'm happy for them. But we're getting away from some stuff here because of television. Television is really starting to like, hey, we're just going to do whatever we darn well please, and you'll watch. And, of course, I'm one of the dopes. I watch. Okay? So I am part of the problem.
I understand. I don't think that I'd be watch. I'm going to look at that Saturday showcase and see, pick out a game to watch. But I'm not going to be ensconced on the sofa in front of the big screen watching nine games that Saturday. But, yeah, I'm a fan, too, and I want to watch it. I'll definitely be tuning in to see Southern Columbia. You know, purely as a fan, I'm cheering for the Tigers. And those are words that have never been uttered from my mouth before.
That's right. Yeah, it's a Danville guy.
I'm a Danville Ironman guy, and we've had some brutal rivalries with those Tigers over the hill in Elysburg. But I'm cheering for them on the 25th of August. Wish them all the best.
Yeah.
It's a daunting task.
Oh, it is a daunting task, but they'll be up for it. I bet they play really, really well. But you know what? It's just, for example... WHVL-TV. Matty, you do a lot of on Service Electric, right?
Yep.
You'll do some high school games,
getting
right?
Getting ready for week one coming up in a couple weeks.
But I'm saying you probably have a lot of people come up to you and say, hey, I watched you do that game, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Everyone loves all of our broadcasts around the area.
Exactly. And I'm the same way here. WHVL does their game of the week, and it's not just State College. But I'll sit there on a Friday night and watch a few series here and there because it's fun and enjoyable. I know ESPN's trying to join in the crowd. It's just, I just sit there and I shake my head and said, I don't want high school sports to have a professional feel to it. But I don't want to deny people opportunity either. So.
Yeah, it's a tough one. It's a real dilemma, actually, when you think about it. Or as I would, one of my favorite words, Steve, it's a conundrum.
Yeah, sure. That's great. We love conundrum.
Conundrums. Yes, can't have enough conundrums.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you on the show today. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's served this valley for decades. And they're the experts. Auto, home, life, business, whatever it may be. You want to bundle. Look, you're their focus. One-to-one customer service. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Bob Buhner alongside the future voice of Shikellamy football, Matt Catrillo's here.
Thanks you for the promotion.
Always.
Matt's there. Matt's ready.
Oh, no, I know he's ready. It's like that one season of Nirvana we have when Furlazzo was doing it. It was great.
It was awesome.
It was incredible. It's like we're like the game's about the game and not the guy doing the game.
Oops.
Matt never knows how to react to that. He rolls his eyes. I don't want to react to that.
I can't let him see me sweat here.
Yeah, just let him go.
Yeah. So, your first broadcast. When are the spikes done, Steve?
Labor Day.
So you'll have a busy couple weeks then at the end of the month.
I've got 12 games in 12 days starting on Thursday.
That's an impressive streak.
That's fun. That's fine with me.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Steve, I have to say this. Last night, watching ESPN baseball, and I thought of you.
Why? Because the Red Sox were losing?
Exactly.
Again?
they got swept 4 games. I think that knocks them out of any kind of...
Just so you know, I'm well aware. In fact, I want to set up a 3-game series with the Pirates to find out who's worse.
Well, that would be a race to the bottom.
Exactly.
Listen, there are AAA teams around this country that could make the Pirates look really even worse than they are now.
Well, tonight, they're playing the Brewers tonight.
Right.
You know what the promo is?
Free beer night, I would think.
Jordan Lyles comes back to Pittsburgh. All right, now, you could pull fans at PNC Park. Right? And what did you think of Jordan Lyles when he pitched for the Pirates? And most of the responses would be, he played for us?
Yeah.
really?
Give me another Iron City, if you will, and let's move on, because that's what they think of Jordan Lyles in Pittsburgh.
It's like, they don't know who he is.
No.
Now, look, they're not very good. I got it. The Phillies are trying to... They took Mikel Franco and they farmed him.
Yeah.
How about that? They farmed him out.
Didn't make sense.
Well, I don't know. He hasn't been playing all that well. And I think when you acquire Corey Dickerson, like they did, which gives you another outfielder, you now can put Scott Kingery, to his credit, who can play a wide variety of positions, you can now start moving your chess pieces because Franco's not there anymore.
True, and Dickerson is also very versatile in the field, plays a variety of positions as well.
And I give Dickerson credit. When Dickerson was acquired by the Pirates last year from Tampa Bay, I knew he could hit. That was not even a shadow of a doubt. I said, well, this guy will come in and hit. But will he give up as many runs as he gets? And you know what? Dickerson ended up winning a Gold Glove last year. He runs really good routes. He is not flashy. He throws to the right base. He makes the correct play every single time.
Yep.
That's what I said. When the Phillies got him last week, I said, look, you people have a winner. This guy can play.
Yep, and he's proved already.
Yeah, I mean, he can play. And now I think it with Franco not there, it gives them more versatility because of Kingery. Kingery is not a natural outfielder. I think this opens up a few doors and gives him a better lineup. I mean, the hope had been Franco would be this big bat, and it hasn't been like that.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, today's show brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades. Auto, home, life, business, whatever it may be. and you may want a bundle. They'll find you the right insurance. They'll find you the best price. And in the end, if you ever need them, they'll be the first ones to step up for you because customer service means everything to them. It is Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Bob Buhner alongside today. Hello, Bob.
Hey, Steve. You know, those Sunbury Motors people, my favorite, Danny over in the quick lane, takes care of my car every couple months when it needs it. So, great folks, and glad to be here with you and with Matt.
Yeah, it's great to have Matty Ice here once again.
Good to be back with you guys as well.
Yeah, it's great to have you here.
Steve, during the break, I had a chance. I went into the men's room, and in a foreshadowing of what's to come, there are two large bottles of ibuprofen on the counter. I think that coincides with the arrival of the new interim general manager at Sunbury Broadcasting.
I think that ibuprofen came out of the president's office.
Could well have. Oh, boy. Well, anyway, we make fun of him, but he's such a fun guy.
Oh, Roger is, yeah.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I think Roger's a great guy. He's a lot of fun. You know,
it's the other guy we're talking about, I guess.
The other guy scares the daylights out of me.
Hey, Steve, if I can play Ask Steve a Question, that new game we play.
We love it.
I know you do. This is a question about recruiting, and not about anybody in particular, but in a very generic way. And this is what I've wondered about. Let's just say John Superstar Jones of What's a Matter University or High School is going to announce on August the 10th his selection. He's narrowed the choices down to five. Right. And he's going to have a little show at his high school gymnasium at 7 p.m. Now, obviously, there's going to be, if he has five down to five, there's going to be four that don't come out with him as the choice.
Sure.
Do the other coaches ever get a heads up from that student athlete, hey, I'm going to XYZ University, I didn't pick you? Or is it they're just hanging on like everybody else waiting to hear what the word is? How does that actually work behind the scenes, if at all?
Depends on the kid. Sometimes a kid will just do it, and they'll text the school they're going to ahead of time, say they're going to go, and then they announce it. Sometimes they'll tell the other ones ahead of time. I mean, it just depends on the kid. It's all dependent on, how they personally want to approach it. There's no real one way of doing it.
Right. Sure. I would think the classier kid would at least text the coach of the other school, other coaches of the other school, and say, hey, thanks so much. I really enjoyed you, but I've decided on XYZ. I thought I'd give you a heads up.
Yeah. And some may do that. Some don't. It just all depends on who it is and how they want to approach it, how the parents may want to approach it. I don't know. There's no one way of doing it. No one way. The recruiting game is interesting. I was with a basketball coach at another school yesterday. I'm not going to get into
Penn Stan,
who,
yep.
And I'm not going to get into the school, whatever. It was not Penn State. And they were getting a verbal commitment from what he called a local guy. And the kid was letting him know that he was going to commit. Okay. Well, yeah. Now, how he approached the other people in there, I don't know. That I don't know.
I forget which player it was at. He's a Penn State player now on the football team. And he had privately told the coaching staff at Penn State, like months before his actual public announcement, that he was going there. And then, so the announcement on his selection day really was, for those coaches at the school he was going, at Penn State, was a non-announcement. But, of course, we all know they can change their mind in a heartbeat.
Sure. And then you got a guy like Micah Parsons. I can tell you right now, as a person that was in the room with the coaching staff, mm-hmm. and others were there, too. I mean, well, yeah. I wasn't the only one. They didn't know until he said. They didn't know.
And people were doing backflips and cartwheels when that announcement came in, I'm sure.
That was not exactly a room of depression.
No.
Okay, I guess we'll have to endure having him here for the next few years. Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of high-fiving and hugging.
Oh, I'll bet.
When he made that decision. But nobody in the room knew. James was not tipped off. Brent Pry did a ton of recruiting on him. This was really his his deal. Brent didn't know.
Yeah, when that announcement came, I think the folks across Nittany Nation were as excited as can be over an incoming recruit.
And it's paid off. I mean, I know he's going into his second year. But think about this. Normally when you have somebody changing positions on defense, it is normally it's moving closer to the line of scrimmage. You go from being a safety to a linebacker. You go from being a linebacker to being a defensive end. All right. So let's take Sean Lee. Sean Lee was a terrific high school safety, but he comes to Penn State and he's a linebacker. While Sean is still, Sean's closer to the line of scrimmage, which means he has to learn the hand fighting part, he still is doing it essentially in the pass game what he always did at playing safety. He's still playing in space.
Right.
For Micah Parsons, he's one of the few guys I've seen that's gone back. Right, mm-hmm. And he's gone from being a defensive end, and of course anything else he does on offense, but from being a defensive end to now being a linebacker and playing in space. So he's gone back, and the first half of last season, I thought it took a little bit for him to play in space, but to his credit, the second half of the season, he showed everybody how special he is because he adapted really well to it, and now you could see his athleticism is now being matched with some instincts.
Well, you know, Steve, I think I know a fair amount about football, having been a fan for 60 years or so, but for the life of me, I cannot figure out what position Micah Parsons plays or how you would name it. It's like he's the guy that's all over the field. I mean,
well, he's an outside linebacker that you can use in pass coverage like a Cam Brown, but you can also line him up and you can rush him like, you know, and this
yeah.
he's not this person yet, obviously, but no, you can line him up like if you want to, like Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah, I mean, he's just all over the field, and I mean, he plays wall-to-wall coverage, I guess is the way I would describe it. So, yeah, he's one that I think Penn State fans are very excited about for this coming season.
Oh, they should be.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to have Cam Meller on from Pro Football Focus tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
And Cam is going to tell everybody about, you know, where he grades out on this team, on the Pro Football Focus grades. I mean, because they're and Pro Football Focus, I mean, they grade everything out along the way. Now, are they the be-all, end-all? Of course they're not the be-all, end-all. But I'll tell you right now, for me, as someone who uses Ken Pomeroy for analytics to help support some of the things I see, Pro Football Focus is very important to me to also help me in what I'm seeing. Doesn't mean they're perfect. I mean, I remember one week they named this guy lineman of the week nationally. All right, and we're like, I was like, really? That's not the other one in the game I watched. Right? And so then I went up to a member of our staff, and I said, hey, they named this guy. They're like, oh. I said, what did you think? And I said, wow. Oh. I said, I didn't quite get it. He goes, oh, good. It's like, okay.
Well, I think he's one of the exciting. I think Micah Parsons truly an exciting player. I mean, he's a game changer.
No question. He's a five star. Plays like a five star. Yeah. That's what a five star should look like.
I would have loved to have seen him play a little bit of offense, only because I have this. what do I want to say? Who was the guy from Plymouth State that was getting voted?
I know who you're talking about.
Heisman because he was
Gordy Lockbaum.
Gordy Lockbaum was a two-way player, and he actually got votes for the Heisman Award. But,
he did.
You know, it'd be great to see another two-way player. I mean, it'll never happen, obviously.
Well, Charles Woodson was essentially a spot two-way player.
Yeah, that's true.
Chris Gamble at Ohio State.
Yeah,
was a two-way player.
Did not Woodson win the Heisman Trophy?
Woodson won the Heisman.
Yeah,
and he played a fair amount of offense. Chris Gamble was a wide receiver and a defensive back at Ohio State. Yeah. He played both.
So it can be done.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it. And you know, and those are obviously great examples, really good players. So you can do it. I think when you get into a situation though, like Parsons, let's take last year. He's learning a whole new spot. He's learning how to play linebacker, how to play in space. You know, you get into that. You know, that quandary, quarterback exits pocket. Do I attack? Do I stay back? Do I hold my lane? Do I go after him? You know, all those split-second decisions you have to make. I think you want him to master that before you say, hey, by the way, you're going to play running back too. And I think you want him to master the part where he's going to help the football team the most.
Sure.
Plus, they already had other guys at those spots anyway.
Oh, yeah. What's that guy, Miles, somebody that was a running back? I guess he could take the... Yeah, Micah could be behind him.
Eagles loved him.
Yeah, he tore it up at training camp last night, Miles Sanders.
He did.
Nice little cutback for a five-yard touchdown run and 11-on-11s.
Ooh.
Did really well. Matt, you've gone to Bucknell football practice so far?
I did. I went to the first one on Friday. Going to go to the first part of it for their first full pads practice tomorrow. And we'll see how things go, getting ready for the Temple opener.
I believe Doug Birdsong was there.
Yes. We were both there side by side watching, and he was taking video and stuff, and I was just kind of doing my own thing, taking some notes and things like that.
Sure. You mean the fabulous Doug Birdsong.
Yes.
Which is how I
always loved working with Doug.
And he is fabulous.
He is. Steve,
there's one other question, Bob. So, Maddie, you're doing the sidelines?
Yes, for the Temple opener, right. Yep.
And Doug's the play-by-play guy?
Correct.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
Did the color analyst make an appearance?
He did not for this particular practice, but I had a discussion with him before the show, and he said he will be getting to sometime this week.
Okay, so he's not going at all.
No,
okay,
exactly.
Make sure. Is this one of those guys? I got to go, got to run, got a big appointment, got to go.
Steve, one of the thoughts I had driving down here today, because I know that Bucknell opens at Temple.
Yes.
And then Penn State opens with Idaho State. I think a great game would be Bucknell at Penn State to start the season. Just throwing it out there for Sandy Barber to consider.
Well,
Bucknell, they could have breakfast in Lewisburg, take the bus up to the campus, play their game, come home with a big check, have a good time, all that kind of stuff. They did it in wrestling. They've done it in basketball. I think football's a logical progression in that relationship. Just saying.
Well, okay. We're going to have to see how the college football playoff progresses. Because in the end, that's going to dictate what you can and can't do.
Of course.
You know, can you do that, which Alabama does. They play Mercer. They play the Citadel. I can't remember who
Troy
this
State.
Year's. Troy State's FCS.
No,
they're FCS, so that's not an issue. These other schools are FBS. I'm trying to think who the heck they play this year. But it's before the Auburn game.
Is it something like College of Charleston or something like that? I'm trying to think as well.
Like Charleston Southern?
Yeah, something like that.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. We'll get our staff working on that.
Now, I know Penn State will have Delaware. I know it's down the road. They've got Villanova. So is it a possibility? I think anything's a possibility. I just, you know, but again, I think Penn State needs to schedule whatever direction the college football playoff dictates. And if they dictate that the door to something like that is open, then go ahead and do it.
Alabama plays WCU at home the week before the Auburn game on November 23rd.
Western Carolina.
Yeah.
Western Carolina. The Catamounts.
Yes. I knew there was a Carolina team that was in there, just wrong state.
I think what Penn State needs to do is Penn State needs to schedule, again, back to how the College Football Playoff Committee dictates scheduling. And to be honest with you, as of right now, I couldn't tell you in a million years what that philosophy is, because the College Football Playoff has completely confused me when it has come to scheduling. I have no idea.
I don't think anybody else does either, Steve. I think it's a baffling thing for a scheduler looking forward, because we all know that the schedules are, for the most part, very inflexible, because you have to play so many games in your conference, 8 or 9, and you only have a limited window of schools to play in the beginning of the season, and no one's figured it out. And those games are lined up for years.
Yeah, I mean, for years. And I don't know. In other words, let's take Washington. Washington made the College Football Playoff in 2016. So we know, everybody knows, because Penn State was right there in the thick of it.
Yes.
And I want to say they played Portland State, and they might have played Eastern Washington, but their toughest non-conference game was an FCS opponent, Rutgers. Well, the second they did that, it made you sit back and say, wait a minute here. How can I schedule now? I'm allowed to do this? That's what it came down to. And it was, they opened the door for you to play Portland State and Rutgers as your two toughest non-conference games. That's not, to me, how it works.
Well, I think one of the problems is the changing nature of the committee that makes the decision. It's not like it's 7 wise men and women that have stayed there from the beginning of time until the end of time. That committee changes memberships over the course of years.
Yeah. And that's fine, because it's very time-consuming. So that
sure.
Part I've got.
But when you replace somebody with somebody else, you may get a whole different perspective. So that changes the composition of or the decision-making of the committee at a particular point of time.
Yeah, this was Washington's first 3 games. Rutgers, 48-13, Idaho, 59-14, and then Portland State, as you mentioned, Steve, 41-3. That was their first 3 weeks of the season.
I mean, that's how they schedule their non-conference. Now, they did play, to their credit, they did play 10, right? They did play 10 FBS opponents, because Rutgers was the 10th.
Yep.
And they played 9 conference games. This is before they played in the Pac-12 championship game against Colorado. But I don't know. To me, they've got... when something like that happens, I think what happens is that they now open Pandora's box to a problem. That's just my opinion.
Yep. Big time problem.
We'll take a break. Yep, we'll take a break. Come back with more in a moment. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. All right, more coming up next hour. Looking forward to it. We're also going to delve into the world of analytics coming up in... that'll be tomorrow. Cam Miller is going to join us from Pro Football Focus. Bob will be there.
I'm bringing my...